Ever feel like everyone was working against you?
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton.
You know we've got your back. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Georgia. Georgia.
Just trying to figure out how long I've known John Pudner from Tate Back Our Republic, and I'm fairly sure it goes back into the aughts. You know, like the old timers used to say, back in aught seven when the show started. But I'm sure it's you know, pre Bob McDonnell governorship. I'm not sure. Maybe he remembers. He's on the phone. It's Take Back Our Republic, takeback.org, and working very hard in the Georgia Senate races. John, good to hear from you again. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, thanks so much. And I don't know which Republican convention it probably centered around, but I was in 16 of them, so one of them over these years.
Well, you know, down there now on the front lines of this, where, you know, Take Back Our Republic is a nationwide organization, but you're based out of the Georgia, Alabama, you know, southern tier there. Talk about the impact. You know, I brought this up. I listen to these folks, and every time there's some question about vote integrity, you hear judges and election officials saying, well, you know, that always starts the same way. There's no voter fraud. There's no evidence of voter fraud. There's no proof of voter fraud. The voter fraud we found is insufficient to overthrow the election. And by that point, we've moved on. And I guess that's the game they play. But I've did the math. In Georgia, there's 2,656 polling places, 2,656 precincts, four irregular votes, four votes from dead people, four votes from people that are moved out of state. That's 10,000 votes, John. That's an enormous number. So when they say there's insufficient proof that the voter fraud we've seen would overthrow the election, we got to call that a lie, because it doesn't take a lot at each polling place.
Well, it doesn't. And, you know, I just always go to Philadelphia as an example. You know, if you have a place where no observers are allowed to watch, to check the names as they come in for a vote, something I've done before, what mm-hmm. you normally do is you sit there and you have a list of people you know have moved or dead or, you know, all kinds of things. And when that name comes up, you challenge it. So start with, you know, a place like Philadelphia where you're not allowed to sit close enough to watch that vote to catch them. And then secondly, of course, the Supreme Court up there had always thrown out the voter ID laws. So if you don't have voter ID, you have multiple people voting. I've just looked through a list of 1,400 people who double voted, you know, just as an example. That's not this past election. That's not enough to shift a state, but it says if they're double votes, it tells you, okay, someone may have been faking names because the real voter may have shown up and their name had already been used. So there definitely is voter fraud every election, and I think the people on the other side would be better off to say there's some, but it's not enough to switch an election, which is a much more defendable position than there's no voter fraud, which is absurd.
Well, but I'm saying, you know, this is where you just need three or four votes in each polling place, and you've actually switched the results of the election. I mean, to me, it's a civil rights issue, John. And I had this argument with our current Congressman Denver Riggleman on the air, because I said, listen, doesn't the Voting Rights Act guarantee that my vote counts as one vote, not 0.9555 votes?
Right, and I'd almost take the math from the other perspective, too, because you can say four votes per precinct. That's a valid way to do it. But the other thing, as you point out, is the number of precincts. And all you need is a bad apple. I mean, the people who were arrested this year, there were two who hopefully will face 10-year prison sentences up in Philadelphia and New Jersey. But, you know, the one person who was casting 20% of the ballots in one precinct, because it was some place where he wasn't just watched at all. So I think the bigger issue is, as you alluded to, there are about 100,000 voting precincts. And I think you're more likely to have the handful where, you know, something bad is going on. And look, 99% of election workers are honest and, you know, going to try to do things right. It just doesn't take that many. There's so many precincts. And anytime you have a place where there's no one on one party or the other, There are 59 voting places in Philadelphia, for example, where not a single vote went for Mitt Romney. It was unanimous. Well, if you don't have anyone even voting for you, there's also no one watching what's going on. And again, not trying to challenge the integrity of most election workers. Most are honest, put in their time, et cetera. It just doesn't take that many to roll up the vote in a couple of places.
Well, I would actually counter. I would say, I'm not saying it's the election workers. I think they're doing their job. It's the scurrilous party members, and it could happen. I mean, I just don't see it a lot amongst Republicans. But the scurrilous party workers who are suborning this, who are you know, paying off the event coordinator at a senior living facility to get absentee ballots for all the residents and then fill them all out and witness them all. Heck, in Virginia, we don't even need to witness them all anymore, and send them on in. So it is, the election officials are fine. They're doing their job, and they're just doing what they're supposed to do. If you've created a scenario where, gosh, in Virginia, all I have to do is show a Dominion Energy bill, and that suffices as voter ID again. And this is, ironically, all stuff that the former governor of Georgia, Jimmy Carter, warned us against in 2005.
He did. You're absolutely on. And this was why we just came out so strongly against mailing ballots, everyone. I mean, Nevada is probably the place that was the worst and probably had the most voter fraud this year. And again, once you mail the actual voting ballot to everyone on a list, any of us who've knocked on doors know how many people are still on a list that don't live someplace. You sometimes have three or four families listed at a home you're knocking on for door to door. Well, you mail a ballot everywhere, and suddenly eight ballots come to that home. It doesn't take that many people wanting to turn them back around and send them back in. I had confronted one person, in a friendly manner in Oregon who showed up as voting twice several years ago, and her response on the phone was, look, if the state of Oregon didn't want me to vote twice, they wouldn't have sent me two ballots.
There you go. Hey, John Putner, Take Back Our Republic, takeback.org is on the phone with us. I'm coming up on a break here, but I want to hold on to you. Can I? I know that you've been very busy, trying to, get the support for the Senate races, get attention down in Georgia so Loeffler and Perdue can stave off. I want to poke on a couple of things because I'm sensing a mood that I haven't felt since 2011, 2012 amongst conservatives. I want to see if you're sensing the same thing. What do we do about it, and how we get more poll workers? Because I look at these marches and I'm like, all right, how many of you volunteered to be a poll watcher? I'm watching the people in Philadelphia banging on the door saying, I want to be a poll watcher. Did you volunteer to your party headquarters, in the months prior to that when they needed you to volunteer to become a bonded poll worker? Can we hit on those things when we come back?
I would love to.
All right, John Putner, it's takeback.org.
Central Virginia's 2020 election news headquarters.
We're going to have a great red wave.
Seaville 1075 and 1260 WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the morning. I just got an email reminding me that John Putner was a part of Team Pratt back in 2014. But I know I've known him longer than that. Insurgents and, working with folks, Take Back Our Republic. Given your experience with these campaigns and being the sort of like the money ball of political campaigns, John, give me a feel for the two campaigns, especially the one with Reverend Reparations, who fascinates me because I'm listening to people say that Bob Good is a Bible thumper, yet they seem to look the other way when you actually have a minister who spent last Sunday in the pulpit running for Senate. Give us Warnoff and Ossoff, how would you be building a campaign against them?
Yeah, these campaigns are tougher than Republicans think, I believe. I hear a lot of just assuming they're wins. And I should say, Take Back Our Republic, we can't actually endorse now. We're nonprofit. So we work on the voter integrity, these things, ballots or ACLU moving money. And so we hit the peripherals, which is nice because I can kind of take a little step back view, no matter how strongly my feelings are personally on the race. But the real threat to Republicans are twofold down there. One, of course, is that you can move to the state and register to vote. which we've had Democrats very publicly asking one to do. I mean, you have until December 7th to get there. Now, there have been some more recent warnings, but you literally, if Act Blue is going to put together another $500 million for a race in Georgia, you know, what do you do with it? You start to get to a point where, you know, literally renting homes and having people paid to live in the state becomes a viable option. So that's one threat. It's a lot harder to get most Republicans to get up and move someplace just to vote.
That's amazing.
Logistically,
well, I think it's against the law, isn't it, though?
That's what they've said more recently. Now, that you know, the law is if you're in the state by December 7th, you can register to vote. Now, over fear that this was starting to happen very publicly, you know, they said, hey, it's illegal to move in and to state just to vote and then to leave the state. I got to tell you, I don't know if that's really there. I mean, I'm glad they're saying it, but there's nothing to prohibit, you know, stop someone practically from doing that.
So I was trying to put my finger on the mood, you know, as the weeks have gone on and now, you know, the transition, I'm getting the feeling, especially after Sidney Powell's shot at the Georgia governor and secretary of state and things like that. And Carl Bernstein's piece about, oh, I know all these senators, starts naming names of people who secretly told him, I don't like Trump. I'm getting the same vibe that I got in 2011 as the 2010 Congress went into office on the wave of the Tea Party, and then nothing happened. And it continued into 2012 after the presidential election, and I started to hear from more and more Tea Party people, and the Tea Party attendance started to wane, because people were like, well, screw this, I just did all this and nothing happened. You know, are you feeling the same kind of, you know, negative energy coming from conservatives, John?
There is. It's really dangerous for the two Republican candidates down there because logically this should be a Republican win. Generally, they do better in runoffs in Georgia. 56% of the country now wants the Republicans to control the Senate, partly because Biden won. So if you're all in the middle, you know, you'd like balance. But the problem is, you know, you've got another one of the prominent attorneys who's been challenging election results, Lynn Wood. I mean, he's been doing the circuit on don't go vote or you know, others have been saying go vote, write Trump in because the senators aren't doing enough to overturn the election. And whenever you've got division, you don't need to convince most Trump supporters to for some reason vote against. You just need to peel off a few percent, and that's what makes this race a lot tougher than people realize, and not the 90% you know chance of a win that it would be. So there's a chance both of those go down if these fractions stay until the end. I mean, whenever your base is divided and not 100% sure and not gung-ho, and the other side is, which they are down there, I mean, this is a pure turnout election, you know, it becomes tricky. So, you know, you get a bunch of Trump write-in votes or people just not showing up because they don't feel like the two of them did enough, which, you know, and you've got the Democrats. We saw with Jamie Harrison in South Carolina, they will take some of their budget just to send stuff out, supposedly from conservatives, to try to fester this. It only takes a couple of conservatives saying it for the liberals to go ahead and put $100 million behind targeting every conservative in the state, say, don't vote. These people aren't strong enough for Trump or didn't defend him enough or anything else.
Well, what is it about the Democrats that keep them from having this kind of dysfunction? You know, do they you know have better snacks at their meetings? I don't know. I mean, it was just I watched the 5th District Democratic primary devolve. One candidate was a doctor, and he got himself appointed to these video chats for all these area school districts as the UVA hospital expert on COVID-19. Never once mentioned to any of these parents that, oh, by the way, I'm also running for Congress, and if a Republican had tried to do that, his opponents would have been excoriating him. But the other Democrats in the race were like, "Oh well, I guess you know that's just the way it is. Win, win, win for the team." Is it hypnosis? What is it, John?
Yeah, you know it's funny because I actually think Democrat internal politics is nastier than Republican internal politics, but it is amazing that they can come out and close ranks how they do in public. And I think that's partly just, I think there's more independent thinking in general from conservatives and Republicans. And again, those of us who sat through Republican conventions, so there's very strong-willed independent thinking.
Yeah, know? Oh yeah.
Which is a good thing. You know, it's not a complaint. We should have diversity of views even within conservatism. But they do seem to close the ranks. And, you know, once they say the word voter suppression, that rallies them. So you've got Stacey Abrams there, who's kind of the star of the left. She's been organizing mm-hmm. ever since she lost her governor's race and claimed she didn't lose it. And, you know, they've got a good ground game. And, you know, that it's going to, you know, these races are going to be tight. They could go either way.
Well, and that's where I feel like, you know, I just read a story, Politico said 762,000 mail-out absentee ballots have already been sent for this race. John, are we having enough Republican poll watchers standing by to watch these things come in? Because I feel like that's where we're falling behind. We get all the people who will hand out leaflets out in front of the polling place, but few volunteers you and I have done, which is be a poll watcher.
That's right. I do want to clarify, they do mail applications. They're not ballots. I just want to make that distinction.
Oh, okay. All right. Politico said ballots, but okay. So,
yeah, they've messed up on that distinction before. And again, I'm not trying to dismiss the concerns over this much mail coming in, but at least it's a two-step. Someone does have to actually apply for the ballot, have it mailed to them. The reason that's important is in Nevada, when you just mail out all the ballots, they all hit at once. You can literally walk around and pick up discarded ballots and mail them in. At least in Georgia and most states, you do have to do that application. So there will be a lot of them, but there's a lot, you know, it's a tighter time frame. You know, you didn't have the months of prepping for it. So, you know, there will be a drop off in turnout mm-hmm. on both sides.
Yeah,
and
well, I'm saying.
It's a pure turnout race.
It's going to, you know, have to be, you know, put it aside, rub some dirt on it, and get back in the game. But let me ask you this, you know, on a more existential level, can the federal government mandate voter roll verification at very least? I've learned not to use the P word, but to, you know, to say to states, listen, under the Voting Rights Act, the way Virginia used to have to get through pre-clearance, you have to, even if it's not annually, once every 5 years, go through your voter rolls and verify that everyone on the voter rolls are A, still residents, and B, still alive?
Oh, yeah, and you know, this and voter ID are the two calling cards left is voter suppression, which is just ridiculous.
But Jimmy Carter was the Democrat governor of Georgia, and he said, you know, these things, you know, have to be in place.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And there's no credibility to what liberals are saying. They just they scream it. And I mean, just to give you a sense, my first vote for Ronald Reagan was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, when I was just up there for school. There's no registration. I said, oh, shoot, I forgot to vote absentee. My gosh, I'm going to not vote for Ronald Reagan. This is terrible. And I said, oh, no, you just take an envelope down. Example you're seeing now there. Take an envelope down, show it to them with your name on it. And I'm like, well, how do they know it's me? They don't. And so I show them the envelope, which happened to have my actual name on it. But, I mean, it could have been any envelope. Mm-hmm. I said I was Jim Smith. And there was no voter registration at all. So they literally just wrote down my name on a book. John Putner voted. That was it. No check or anything. And that's almost where the Democrats want to be. It's same day registration. It's anything that prevents you from checking on anyone who's voting. And you know, on the basis that some people were taking off the Georgia rolls because, as you said, they had not voted in a presidential, wasn't important enough to choose between Trump and Clinton or past governor's race, didn't return an envelope when it was mailed to them saying, yes, I still live here. They're taking off the rolls, and Abrams uses that as a base of, well, I really won. It's just they took these people off the rolls. The Republicans in Georgia said, hey, bring us one person who said they would have voted for you, except that they were taken off the rolls. They still haven't produced one person. Yeah. So this supposed vote suppression, you know, it's just a joke of an argument.
Help out if you can. It's takeback.org. John Putner, we miss you up here in Virginia, but you're doing great work, and keep it up. Takeback.org. Thank you, sir, and you have a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, you too. Thank you, and to all your listeners, thank you.
Get your feet on the floor and your butt out the door. First thing weekday mornings, Seville 107.5 FM, AM 1260 WCHV.